Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors, and you're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Every day, Family Talk brings you world-class guests, relevant trends, and a growing global community, all with the click of a mouse or a tap of a screen. As a listener-supported ministry, we're only able to offer these great resources because of your generous donations. Stand with us, will you? Now through the end of the year, great news. Every dollar you give is going to be matched to have twice the impact on families around the country and right there in your neighborhood. Call us, would you, at 877-732-6825, or you can go online and donate at drjamesdobson.org and become a part of the Family Talk family.
Hi, Roger Marsh here, your announcer on the Family Talk broadcast. Want to wish you and yours a very happy new year. Happy 2017.
Today on Family Talk.
Are you struggling with infertility? Or do you know someone who is? Or maybe your fertility treatments have been successful and now you have leftover embryos waiting for the gift of life. Well, today's program is one you will not want to miss. Hello and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. After James and Christy Bove found out that they couldn't have biological children, they discovered another option. Their story was one of our most popular programs of 2016, and we are bringing you part two of that discussion today. Listen now as the Boves join Dr. James Dobson and our former co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker, here in studio to continue their story of embryo adoption on today's edition of Family Talk.
Dr. Meeker, you had asked a question right at the end of the broadcast last time. We were out of time, and we weren't able to let our guest answer it. Repeat the question. We're going to start right there with where we
you
were
bet.
Last time.
James and Christy, you told us your story of infertility and then going through snowflake adoption and adopted embryos. Mm-hmm. And I know that through the whole process, you're prayerful people. Mm-hmm. And you said that God showed you signs of confirmation. Can mm-hmm. you tell us what some of those signs were?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, the scripture tells us that wisdom from above is peaceable. And so there was a peace that came with this option that in itself was one confirmation. Of course, I don't think that's enough, especially with a big decision like this. Mm-hmm. And so there were scriptural confirmations as well. And I can give you one scripture that we got from Job 38:29-30. Mm-hmm. It says, out of whose womb come the ice, the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. And so that scripture alone, speaking, figuratively.
Well, explain what you got out of that, because it's a little obscure.
Yes, absolutely. It is obscure. And it's, I would say that it's out of context within the context of the entire scripture. But for us personally, as we were reading that and praying specifically about the snowflakes and frozen embryos, mm-hmm. when we read that, not knowing of that scripture, it was like, whoa, this is amazing. Out of whose womb come the ice? Mm-hmm. And of course, these frozen mm-hmm. embryos are thawed and mm-hmm. then put into the womb. The hoary frost of heaven, who hath gendered it? Mm-hmm. And so even the selection mm-hmm. of gender mm-hmm. Being mentioned in this scripture to us was a very big confirmation.
I've read that scripture many times. I never put that connotation on it, but I can see it.
Yeah, when you're going through it and mm-hmm. it speaks directly to your situation, that's when it really comes alive in that way.
You bet. And yeah. So did you hang on to that scripture throughout the process?
We did. We hung on to this one. But even more so, we hung on to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, which says that he is able, more than able, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you would ask or think, according to the power that is at work within you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Christy, I think I read about your story that you were proud to be pregnant, visibly pregnant.
Yes. I could not wait until I started buying maternity clothes and it became more real and feeling the babies move and the life that was in me. And
how'd you feel about twins?
I was so excited. I honestly have to say I felt like I won the lottery.
Twice.
There's a lot of movie men there, yeah.
Yes, and I remember finding out I was having a boy and a girl, and I just felt God was giving us our heart's desire above and beyond, double measure, and it just, it's very, very precious to me.
It is precious.
Christy, was there a time when you you said you adopted 8 embryos and 3 didn't work out? They thawed and were not viable. Were there any other pregnancies that you had, or was this your first try? Everything worked?
This was our first try, and they decided to thaw all 8 embryos at the same time because they were frozen for 10 years, and they said that it's highly unlikely that maybe even 1 or 2 would survive the thawing process.
Okay.
So we had them all thawed, and there's a risk that what if more than 3 survive the thawing process? What do we do? 3's the max that we would have implanted. And the doctors reassured us that they would be able to refreeze any extras that we could use again. So that gave us peace also to go ahead and thaw all 8. And in our case, 3 survived.
Mm. Now, this is a little bit technical, but when you implant previously frozen embryos into a woman, her body is not ready to be pregnant. There's a hormonal process that you have to go through in order to receive those embryos. And they put you through quite a procedure. You want to explain it?
Yes. We went through a lot of medication and shots for about a month before.
We or you?
I'm sorry. The doctor helped me.
Okay. I heard about James giving you shots. It was kind of funny. Yeah.
Yes, it was kind of a team effort, actually. But yes, the doctors prepared my body with shots and medication for about the first month before the transfer and implantation. Then continued with the shots and medication and progesterone and hormones for the next 2 months into the first trimester.
So it was not certain at all that you could get pregnant, even with these embryos.
Correct.
No, and many people, it takes more than one try.
Were you afraid?
I was. I had times of doubt and wondering, did we make the right choice of family? But overall, I had a peace about it, and I was excited. And again, I just felt so privileged to become pregnant with twins that it was just overwhelming. You know, the joy was overwhelming.
When did you start to feel pretty confident that this really was going to happen? You're going to have twins.
I would say after the first trimester and going in frequently for ultrasounds. And I do have to say that I was 28 at the time of pregnancy, but the doctors and nurses had to treat me as a 38-year-old woman because that's when these eggs were fertilized. The genetic mother was 38 when these embryos were formed. And so I was high risk with twins, but also as a 38-year-old woman. And so it was, I was a little nervous, but I got to see the babies a lot.
Yeah, James, let me ask you about that. Were you there when the first ultrasound was seen? Did you saw those twins for the first time, a boy and a girl? They told you.
Yeah, we didn't know it was a boy and a girl right away. We knew we had twins, though.
Well, how'd you feel about that moment?
Oh, I was very excited. I was very excited. If I had foreseen the future and the difficulties of having multiples, I might not have been as excited in that moment. But I was very excited. And of course, looking back, even with all of the challenges of having multiples, I'm so happy. I would not change anything. If I was given the choice now to, you know, we can give you your fertility back and you can have your own genetic children, or you can have the children you have now. Oh, man.
It would be.
I would not change a thing. Never.
Mm-mm. When you were going through the adoption process, did you know about the genetic makeup of the embryos? Were you able to choose, or how did that happen? Because I remember, James, at some point I read you wanted a child that looked like you. And you were thrilled to find out that the genetic father kind of was your size. And so were you able to choose which embryos and kind of look at profiles? Or
yes, this was actually another confirmation among many. I've mentioned a couple, but this was a very specific confirmation for us when we went through the adoption process. And, you know, adopting embryos, you go through the same process as you would if you were adopting a child that was born, a domestic adoption. And so we went through a home study and, you know, we applied through the adoption agency, went through a home study and then went through a matching process. And
By the way, that's really important because this is not just the production of a child.
Yes.
This is a legal procedure where you are the father and Christy is the mother.
Correct.
And it's done the same way you would if you were adopting a child who's here.
That's right. And I think that when we have an understanding that these embryos are children, then we desire to treat them as such.
Christy, I'm going to reach out and touch your heart a little bit. Can I do that?
Sure.
You were describing the way you felt a minute or two ago, and you were fighting tears. I don't know if the people listening through the radio can observe what we saw here in the studio. And you were having a hard time really even getting your words out because this meant an awful lot to you. And I want to link from there to the women that are in our audience, primarily women, men too, but women are the ones that carry the babies. And I want to talk to the infertile woman who has gone through the agony of the death of the dream, the dream of having a baby, of being a mother. And when you know you can't, then it really becomes intense. And often that's almost as painful and as hard as the loss of a child that has been born.
Correct.
I mean, it's just that agony inside of thinking you're going to have a child to hold and to love and to raise.
Yes.
And then to find out that you can't. This snowflake approach is one that I want to recommend to those women that are out there. This is an option. And there are plenty of those frozen embryos now that are human beings. If we really believe what we say as Christians, saying that life begins at conception, then there is a child there for you.
Yes.
And you don't have to go through the rest of your life without a child.
That's right.
At least it is a very viable option.
It is a very viable option. And like I said, it was a privilege and an honor to be able to carry and to feel my own children and to know and believe that from the beginning of time, God had a plan for these children to be in our family at this time in life and to encourage our children that they have a purpose. And God saved them and preserved them for 10 years to be here and to be
wonderful?
Born in 2005.
Their names were written down in the foundations
of
the earth.
That's right. And I can tell women out there that they can have that confidence and to receive that purpose as a mother to bring these unborn children into the world so that they can be part of history.
What have you told your kids about this process? Do they understand it?
They do. They do understand it. And like I said, I started writing in a journal so that they could know the process and they could see how they were brought here into this world. And they just love it. They one thing that my son Luke loves is the FedEx truck because he was brought to us by FedEx. And so whenever we see FedEx, Luke and
there
Kylie point it out. There,
there
we go.
It's not a stork, but it's pretty close.
That's right. So they are very confident and proud of their story, really.
So what was life like when you first came home with these two babies?
Oh, it was so
overwhelming.
Exciting. It was overwhelming. We had been married for 9 years before we had children, so it was quite a shock. And, you know, the sleep deprivation and all of that that comes with it was difficult. But at the same time, it was a dream come true, really. Mm-hmm. And we just loved every minute of it.
Mm-hmm. You're right on the verge of adolescence now, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah. That is a new season that we need to be prayed up for.
That's right. Yeah. With God, all things are possible.
That's right.
Yes, getting through. You got through that.
Going back to what we just said, you have been open about this process with the kids. Have you allowed other people to know about it? Obviously, you're here ready to talk about it. Does your church know it?
Yeah.
Yes, we actually spoke at Biola University when I was pregnant, and we got to share with the college students there about the embryo adoption process and life that it begins at conception. So we spoke there, and I tell my clients as a hairstylist, I'm very open because I know somebody is going to know somebody else with infertility issues. Yeah. And I would love to get the word out and spread the news here and give options to families.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is why we're so thankful to be here with you today, to get this story out and to possibly inspire someone to go down this road and to encourage them that this is a good road and it's a noble road and it's a road of rescue, which is such an amazing blessing. So we're very, very open with anybody that wants to talk about it and anybody that will hear.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody criticized you for this? Anybody said they think what you did was not morally right? Anybody looked down their nose at you for doing this?
Not to our faces and not to my knowledge.
No. Most people that I tell, they say it's a miracle.
Okay. Yeah. So crazy question. After the kids were 3 or 4 or 5 years old, did you think of ever doing it again? Or was once enough?
You know, once was enough. Having two babies at once was, it just made us complete. And we were just full of joy and contentment. So for us, our family felt complete.
It was complete. Mm-hmm. Were your family and friends supportive that first year? It's so hard with twins at home. And like you said, you're exhausted.
Yes.
What got you through?
I have to say that before the process, during the pregnancy, and after the birth, I had a very close group of girlfriends that we would get together weekly for a prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. And when we go through life and have tragic things happen, big life decisions to make, heartache, we need support from other believers to pray for us. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that right there was the biggest support that I had felt to keep going and to just enjoy the process, to enjoy it, and not to be robbed of this joy.
Oh, the support was absolutely phenomenal. And the way that the Lord worked it out for us was that we had been living in an apartment upstairs, and the coin laundry was downstairs, and our carports were downstairs. And so, you know, the idea of having twins and me being at work and Christy having to manage the twins upstairs, we were just like, Lord, how are we going to work this out? How's this going to happen? And so 2 weeks before Christy delivered, an opportunity came up for us to move into a home that was on a single story with, with laundry and everything. And we were so excited, but she was so big, she was about to burst. And our friend came.
And loving everything.
Oh, she was. Yeah.
I did.
And they came and they moved everything for us and organized our kitchen. And Christy just sat there and gave direction. And it was amazing.
Well, you said something yesterday that I wanted to come back to. You said there's a story about how you got that money to pay for this medical procedure. What is that story?
Well, you know, God's timing is just incredible and can be such a confirmation in and of itself. And my grandfather had passed away just a few months before we found out that I was infertile. And so he left us a small inheritance, but it was enough to cover the costs of the adoption, which was just a miraculous provision from the Lord, but also that connection to my grandfather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you aware that you were in line to receive some kind of inheritance?
I was not aware. In fact, my grandfather had lived back east, and we lived on the West Coast, and he had been divorced from my grandmother long before I was born, when my dad was about 2 years old. So we didn't have a close relationship. So it was just God and his
timing.
You
were just depending on him.
That's right.
Yes.
A walk
and
he was there.
He was there.
Yes, he was there.
Mm-hmm. Above and beyond.
Yes.
Well, James and Christy, your kids are 10 and puberty's around the corner and life changes. And James, before we started the program, you told me a beautiful story about raising children and sort of letting go. And it happened when you were jogging and you saw a couple of dimes. Would you mind telling us that story?
Not at all. I was jogging and I saw two dimes in the street and they were there next to each other. And I thought nothing of it. I just jogged by. But just a few steps after I jogged by, I felt the Lord was speaking to my heart and saying, those are the twins. And so right when I got that, I went right back to those dimes and I grabbed them in my hand and I held them in my hand and I jogged the rest of my jog praying for the kids and protecting them. It was my thought of, I'm the dad. I'm the protector of these children. I'm going to hold them in my hand and they have value. And I finished my jog, and then the Lord spoke to my heart again and said, now let them go. And so I went up to a bush, and it was really hard for me to let these dimes go. But I tossed them into the bush, and I said, Lord, these children belong to you. Mm-hmm. You provided them. Mm-hmm. They're your kids. You have a plan for their lives. Mm-hmm. And I let them go figuratively.
Oh,
and
that's really neat.
Yeah.
Hey, we're out of time again. I have loved being with you all and hearing your story and the passion of your hearts. Mm. James, we heard about Christy's love for those kids when they were born and how she felt about being pregnant and everything. How have you felt about being the father of two 10-year-olds when you thought you could never have children? That's the last question. You got time to answer it very quickly.
I am so proud that I always tell the kids the day they were born, I say, I will never forget the day you were born. It was so special to me. It was the best day of my life.
Oh,
it was amazing. And since then, I've just enjoyed being a daddy to them and playing with them and teaching them and reading scriptures to them. And they just bring me great joy.
Dr. Meeker, want to say goodbye to these folks?
And I would like to add, I've seen a picture. They're beautiful children.
Thank you.
They're
thank
very
you
so beautiful much. Children, yes. And they look like very happy children. Well, you have blessed me with your story and with your faith and this whole journey that you went through. And I just hope that some of our listeners out there would feel encouraged to follow in your footsteps and check out Snowflake Adoption, because this has blessed everybody. So thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you having us.
Thank you.
We're honored.
And you stay in touch with us, will you?
We will.
We
would love to.
Bring your kids here someday. I'd like to see them.
Absolutely. Yes.
Two little snowflakes, right?
Right.
Yes.
And God be with you all in the days ahead.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
Oh, what an amazing story of God's provision and answered prayer for a childless couple, and using the process of embryo adoption to accomplish that task. What a great way to conclude our month-long series of the best broadcast of 2016 here on Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you want to find out more about embryo adoption or embryo donation, please visit our website at drjamesdobson.org. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you, and we'll see you again next year with more great programs right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Happy New Year.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Family Talk. Do you remember Dr. Dobson's inspiring interview with Anne Graham Lotz?
And I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and God loves us. We love him because he first loved us, and he brought us into existence knowing that we would rebel against him in sin, and he loved us so much he just gave us Jesus.
Or what about the powerful interview with Eric Metaxas this past summer?
We are at the edge of a cliff. We have come here slowly. We haven't noticed it. But if we do not wake up the people of this nation, this is the last exit before the toll. We have to understand these principles and the stories.
There were so many great Family Talk moments this year. It may be hard for you to pick your favorite, but don't worry, we've done it for you. We've selected 18 of the most popular broadcasts of the past year and put them together on 6 audio CDs in the 2016 Family Talk Best of Broadcast Collection. These entertaining and informative programs are sure to bless you and become a cherished part of your family resource library. This compelling CD set is our thank you for a suggested donation of $50 to support Family Talk. And your gift today of any amount will be doubled by a generous matching grant. To join Dr. Dobson and Family Talk in serving families, please call 877-732-6825 or visit drjamesdobson.org. Thank you.